Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, dear colleagues. Thank you for coming quite early to the first session of today's Quality Conference 2018. First of all, I would like to briefly introduce myself. I will be the facilitator of this session. My name is Jean-Pierre Poncelet. I'm head of Unity Neurostat, actually working in the directorate in charge of national account prices and key indicators. In my previous working life, I was also responsible for the organization of the Quality Conference 2016 in Madrid with INE Spain. So the session we have today is a very important session related to quality management and model implementation, session number 3, and I will come back to that. As for those of you who at the opportunity to be there in the session 39 related to the revised code of practices and the challenges which is lying ahead of us, you certainly have taken from that session that the most important challenges in front of us are related to implementation. And I believe this session is really echoing to those challenges which had been highlighted in that session. I would say, as statisticians, we are very good at developing standards. But of course, the challenge is to develop sustainable standards which we can implement in our day-to-day life. And this is no wonder, and this is the reason why we have actually 3 sessions regarding implementation of management and model in this very quality conference. This shows the importance of going from the theory and the theoretical model, which are crucial and important to the implementation. And of course, this is very much also important for our users, because it's very good to have a quality declaration, which we have included in the revised code of practice, so the ESS code of practice. But also it's important to do what we say we want to do. And implementation is crucial to foster trust in our official statistics. So I will stop there as a general introduction to the session. Just a quick point of organization. I propose that, as in all other sessions, we group the question at the end of the presentation. We have a Twitter account. I think you can also raise questions on Twitter, and I will be assisted to find those questions which you might post on Twitter. Don't forget to switch off your mobile phone also, just to make sure that all presenters can freely and be not being interrupted in their presentation. Thank you very much for that. So I propose that we now start immediately with our first presenter. So I have the pleasure to welcome Milos Schär from the Swiss Federal Statistical Office. Milos is going to talk today about the Swiss Federal Statistical Office quality, process, and risk management system. We know very much that risk management is also coming at the top of our agenda in quality and very much important element. So, Milos, please, the floor is yours.
Dziękuję, Jean-Pierre, thank you. In Polish, I'm trying to improve my language skills. Good morning, everybody. My name is Milos. I work for the Swiss Federal Statistical Office. I've been working there for about a little less than 10 years, and 7 years in domain quality and process management, where I've been in charge of developing, conceiving, with other people, obviously, but conceiving and implementing a quality process and risk management system. So today my goal is to present you what we've done, what we've reached, what we haven't reached, what we've learned from the mistakes we made, the problems we encounter, but also what we plan to do for the future. But very briefly, before we get more into details about the system itself, I just wanted to give you a few information about the SFSO, so the Swiss Federal Statistical Office, which is Switzerland's National Statistical Institute, NSI. So here you can see we are the main Swiss statistic producer. We have about 800 staff members, A full-time equivalent would be around 600, 650 staff members. We have seven departments, five departments that are production departments, organized according to statistical domain like population, business, etc. One department in charge of more of strategical tasks such as establishing and evaluating our multi-annual work program as well as our annual work program. And the last unit is really a typical support unit, which is called resources, that also includes finances, IT, HR, methodology, and our unit, quality and process unit, a huge unit composed of two people, my chief, Marcus, just there, and myself. And the risk manager, yes, is in the financial unit, but we work together. So more specifically about the system itself, what are the main goals we set for this? So the first one, which is for me the most important, is to provide, to get people some tools, some instruments that are quite simple to use, pragmatic, that can really help them. It might seem a bit trivial maybe to say it like that. Everybody wants to have simple tools that are easy to use, that bring something, etc. But what I want to stress here is that during the conception of these tools, we really talked a lot with production units, with staff members that will use or now are using these tools to make sure they really understand to make sure that we really understand what they were waiting. Just a short example about this, our quality assurance handbook. At first, I just wanted to take the quality assurance framework from Eurostat, the CAF, and translate it in German and French, and maybe add some more information from the SFSO point of view. But during the workshop, the discussions with our staff members, I understood that people are not thinking according to the code of practice principles. They think more like in the GSBPM. They think according to the various stages of the productions process. And that's the reason why we structure the quality assurance handbook according to the GSBPM phases and added in there the QAF requirements. Just brief example. Then obviously what we all want is more standardization, more coordination of activities in domain of quality, process, and risk management. And lastly, also very important, we would like an overall better coordinated continuous improvement mechanism, which is the third goal of this system. We define this system as a set of principles, a set of tools, as well as a process. We will go through these three dimensions. I will further explain what it is. And it is coordinated by our unit, quality and process unit. So the first principle, so we have seven principles. The first one pretty much embraces the six other. The first one just say, quality is important for the SFSO. We are aware it exists. We are aware we want to have good products, good processes, and we want to improve them. That's just all it says. The principle 2, 3 are really classical quality management principles. We want to make sure we improve on a regular basis our activities, and we want to make sure that the products we deliver and the process beyond those products are in line with our requirements. The fourth principle is basically saying we want our staff members to have clear guidelines about who should do what, etc. So here we understand policies, data policies, data protection policies, HR policies, but also internal regulation. For instance, when a production unit wants to work with an external contractor and has to make a VTO offer and then a contract, who signs for that, who decides for that, etc. That type of processes and decision-making activities are stipulated in those documents and covered by this principle. Fifth principle, we want to be conform with the code of practice. We also do the peer review exercise, the follow-up. We go to the working group. We are aware of what's going on with Eurostat. Sixth principle, we try the best way we can to document our processes, at least the processes that are the most important, key processes, processes that are used by many people, etc. And the last principle is about risk management. We use risk management to better manage the SFSO. We also said that the QPR system was a set of tools. So these tools pretty much support or help the implementation of the mentioned principles. On top of it, the QPR policy, that is basically the seventh principle that I just mentioned. Then we have our QPR handbook that gives an overview of all those mechanisms and documents that we have here. Then we have some more specific documents like quality assurance handbook, how to document the process, how we perform risk analysis, how we guidelines for quality reviews, self-assessment tools, etc. So tools that we can use to perform these activities, such as quality reviews, etc. And this would be like the outcome of, or the output of these activities, like the list of improvement action or improvement actions register, risk register, etc. And the third element we have is the process. So what we try to do is having an annual work program, annual process, where in October each year we define with our QPR committee, the members of this committee is some members of the top management as well as some staff members from the production, from the support units, etc. And then also with the board of management, we define which quality review we will perform, which focus we want to have on risk, which processes we will document, which policies should be created, revised, etc., and also what actions will be in scope for the future years in terms of a peer review action plan. So it helps us to better define what we will do. As we said, we are a small unit. We can't do 100 reviews per year, each year. Maybe it's like 5 or 6 reviews, 5 or 6 process documentation, etc. So we have to make sure that the priorities are the right one for the production units, the right one for the top management, in order to have something concise that is still realizable and bring something to the table. And then after this phase, basically during 1 year, we try or we realize what's been planned. Sometimes it doesn't work, sometimes there are problems, delayed, people are not available to help for the document the process documentation, etc., but at least we try. And at the end of the year, again, or 1 year later, again, September, October, thank you, we evaluate what's been done, problem we saw, future improvement for the future, and we begin to define another work program. So what we plan to do in the future is risk management yet is not where we want it to be. We don't have yet a complete risk register. This is something we want to work and also define how we will use the risk to better plan and coordinate quality reviews and process documentation. Typically for high risk, we will set a principle, something like, okay, for high risk, every 5 years we do a quality review, or for high risk, there should always be document processes. For middle risk, it's recommended, but it's not mandatory, etc. We also want to set a library of good practices. So what we collect during the quality reviews are improvement actions, but also good practices that we identify. I want to centralize them and make some kind of repository where other units can see them. We are also discussing the participant to the internal quality reviews. At the moment, I am the one that coordinate and moderate them with the staff members concerned by the activity, but we would like to integrate other internal experts in this review from the methodology, from the IT, etc. And lastly, we are also considering the use of Gamzo. I mean, we are already doing this, so the first step will be to map our activities with the Gamzo framework, also the documents. And in the future, we also want to introduce a global sort of TQM approach, a global mechanism to evaluate the SFSO, maybe also using EFQM CAF elements in there. But this is still in development. What we've learned so far, the QPR committee, so having a dialogue platform that is not the management board that maybe doesn't have much time for you, so having another a specific committee for this is really important. It allows you to have a platform to discuss about problems or about future developments. Understanding the needs of organization might sound trivial again, but really to take time to go to the people, understand what they need, what they want, to what could help them for their daily business. Communication, to really also explain to the people overall in the organization what you do, what are the outcomes of the system, what we've done, what you plan to do on a regular basis. Otherwise, the people don't even know it exists. And yeah. And lastly, don't try to reinvent the wheel. Obviously, there are a lot of standards coming from UNEC, Eurostat, OECD, etc., that are already very mature and that we can use and maybe adapt to our own needs, but that are definitely a good basis to start. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much, Milos, for this broad overview of the quality system in the Swiss Statistical Office. Now we move directly to our second speaker of today, and I would like to invite Mr. Yusif Yusifov to present us his paper. So Mr. Yusifov is from the State Statistical Committee of the Republic of Azerbaijan, and he will be talking today about GSBPM and ISO as quality management system tools, Azerbaijan experience. So Yusif, the floor is yours.
First one. Good morning, dear ladies and gentlemen. Recent years, the application of ISO 9001 international standards along with GSBPM for improvement of activity among statistical institutions incurs certain conflict and discordance. Several statistical offices, some of them put forward to implementation of ISO standards, some of them GSBPM standards, and cannot identify sometimes the more consistent one. State Statistical Committee of the Republic of Azerbaijan follows its activities application of GSBPM for systematic management of statistical processes towards delivery quality statistical product to users and ISO standards for identification and observance of requirements of quality management system towards obtaining of the data quality of the quality products. In our opinion, GSBPM and ISO standards should not be coincident. On the contrary, they have to be applied in parallel, and thus improving quality of official statistics and increasing users' trust should be gained. It is more logical to implement quality and metadata management on the stages and sub-processes of statistical processes through the application of GSBPM. Due to application of ISO standards, the management by the administration becomes easier. Furthermore, if it enables to monitor at what extent the current requirements are followed based on process approach. Today, we will try to share with you Azerbaijan experience related to the combined application of GSBPM and ISO standards. First of all, I would like to inform you about the brief history about the establishment of quality management system in our country. So Establishment of quality management system in our committee has been launched after the global assessment which provided by Eurostat 2010. So after 2010, in our country, quality policy and objectives had been declared, and some events, special events, included the state statistical program which approved by the President of the Republic. And representative of the administration on quality, who is directly subordinated to the chairman of the committee, has been assigned and established also coordination council for quality for decision making on quality. So what was initial standard approach? Studying and application of ISO standards of quality management system has been initially launched in Azerbaijan. Why ISO 9001? Why not JSPPM and other standards? But why ISO? Because 7 years ago, when we, while talking of quality management system, we referred to ISO standards. Also, as you know, practical guidelines for ISO were available. And some companies suggested their services for training on the standards. There was an interest in controlling the application and implementation of generic rules and standards. And also I would like to mention that it is not secret that one of the aim was in our country is obtaining of the certification on international standards on data quality and statistical processes for show our users and internally. What we did for ISO standards requirements? We divided two part our works, which first one, theoretical and methodological framework have been created. For I would like repeat some of them. For example, the quality guideline clearly explains the documented procedures, information documentation, internal audits, management of unconformities and organizational measures, management of organizational and early measures, risks as opportunities management, analysis by administration, and one of the important points is developing a process map for each our departments. It is also continue, I will not repeat, you can see from the screen, and has been written some methodical issue also which prepared on the base of international, as you know, some conception, for example, provided by international organization, for example, such as statistical metadata in cooperative context and etc. And some practical steps in our country, it is application of generic statistics JSPPM and realization of control on application and implementation of the identified general rules and standards, organization of internal audits, our structural divisions, preparation of quality reports on statistical data quality assessment, and some, for example, conduction of the survey satisfaction of users and determination and organization of metadata system standards on official statistical reports, questionnaires, indicators, and statistical processes, and of course, obtaining the certification from international organizations. What we learned after application of ISO standards? The application of ISO standards taught us to approach the process more systematically. With this approach, we have achieved enhancing user satisfaction, the provision of common goal and development directions, involvement of the staff into the process to achieve the goals, constantly keeping in focus the improvement to succeed, making decisions based on facts to improve the decision-making process, improving the management of relationship with stakeholders to achieve sustainable development. And how application of GSBPM has been launched in our country? Application of GSBPM, we start from 2012. The first national version has been developed, and GSBPM Azerbaijan version has been improved several times in accordance with internal requirements and GSBPM international version. And the appropriated works were done due to cooperation with expert of statistical system of Azerbaijan, Bulgaria, Germany, and Slovenia in the framework of twinning project, which provided by European Commission. And GSBPM national version covers the standards for implementation of statistical production activity of the statistical committee consists of 8 states, 44 sub-processes, and 108 sub-processes. Main differences of GSBPM national version from the international, one of is that each sub-processes has sub-processes, and for better understanding of the sub-processes, the explanation for each item have been developed. As an example, it could be noted that, for example, 4 sub-processes of the stage of data collection has 15 sub-processes. Joint application of GSBPM and ISO standards, I would like to say something, the following have been achieved in the statistical committee. Through the application of GSBPM, the creation of flexible tool for identification and explanation of process regard for production of official statistics, standardization of management of current statistical processes and the process mapping. Through the application of ISO standards, the observance of current guidelines and manuals, the application of PDCA cycle in improvement of outputs, implementation of monitoring and improvement measures through conduction of internal audits for completion of the GSBPM assessment stage, control of the extent observance of measures taken in the system of statistics relating to GSBPM stage. Okay. I would like to inform as you know that there are some similar activities in GSBPM and ISO standards. You can see from screen. In the current slide, I would like to show you a sample of harmonization of ISO and GSBPM and its effect. Effective work distribution in accordance with ISO standards, item 9.1.1. It is audit, measurement, and etc. ZUSI requirements comes from ISO and distribution of work by processes is implemented on the base of GSBPM. It is breakdown of workload in our staff by GSBPM. It is a chart of the breakdown of the workload on GSBPM. Just I would like some benefits about ISO standards principles for quality management said. So due to application of ISO, statistical committee could achieve standardization of actions related with consideration of needs and exception of the interested parties. More observance of user-oriented principle, as I mentioned before. Also, improvement of human and financial resources. Documentation, especially, is very important. And after implementation of ISO standards, we obtained from Bureau Veritas, a French company, first time in 2013. It is standards and SGS company of Switzerland for the second time in 2017. About the quality management system, just I would like to show you it is our first certification, which provided by audit, external audit by Bureau Veritas, and it is second certificate. And conclusion, I would like to say that GSPPM process standard is the way how to manage of ISO processes, and processes in GSPPM are implemented is not in not linear form. In ISO, it is implemented based on PDCA cycle. GSPPM serves for increasing data quality and ISO for data quality assessment. GSPPM gives general view of production process. ISO assists the general production processes. GSPPM considers risks in production process. ISO estimates the risks. Both models, GSPPM and ISO, standardize quality process management. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Josef, for this very interesting presentation. I propose it, that we move directly to the third presentation. And we welcome today Mr. Peter Struijs from Statistics Netherlands. And Peter is going to talk today about quality management of methodology for and process development for official statistics. So, Peter, the floor is yours.
Thank you. I'm presenting a paper that was written by mainly Kees Seelenberg. And he used to be the director for methodology, process development, and quality. So he's well placed to write a paper on this subject. And at the time he was director, I was one of his heads of units for quality and process development. What I'm going to tell you about today, let's see how this works, is first, I want to spend a few words on the need for all this. Second, what it entails, this quality management aspect. Then I will go to the level of Statistics Netherlands, the institute. Why do we think about ISO certification? And then finally, I will focus on the activities we are doing, we have been doing for methodology and process development in this field. So let's see, I'm one too far already. So these are, I'm sorry, I'm a little bit clumsy now with the slides. So first, why do we want quality management? Why do we have it in connection with the wish to certification? What's behind that wish? Well, the main thing is that we see that the production of statistics is becoming nowadays more and more complex. And you all know that nowadays there are many new data sources. We have to integrate them. We need to have new methods, new modeling approaches, and many other things are becoming more complex. And if you think of what that means for the users, now I think many users already did not know exactly what's the quality of statistics, what's involved in making statistics, and now it's even becoming more difficult. Now, of course, what you can do is communicate and tell what you do, but it helps if you have an external institute that tells you, or that tells users, that your institute is doing a good job, is in control of quality, is independent, is professional. And that is the idea for our institute to go into this direction. It's mainly the user orientation and also stakeholder orientation that is all behind the wish to go for certification. So, now I'm getting in control of the presentation itself, good. So, Why do we want to have this at the level of methodology and process development itself? That has to do with the fact that, especially when processes get more complex, then that can be seen especially in methodology and process development. You get more complex methods, you get more complex processes, and so there you have to put an effort to get in control of the quality of what you're doing. And so what we are doing in methodology and process development is we try not only to be in control, but we also try to create trust with our users. And trust is the key word here. We do not expect that all users will understand the complexity or what we are doing and will really be able to judge the quality of what we are doing. So we have to have other measures to make that sure. So we are having an independent unit for methodology and process development within our bureau, so that it can give independent advice to other units. We have external peer reviews. In fact, what we are doing to maintain quality has an internal aspect and an external aspect. And whatever we do, we try to be transparent in doing that. And one of the things that help, as we've seen in the previous presentation, is to work with frameworks, like in our case, also business architecture. What we also observed is that many other commercial companies that make use of surveys, they are mostly certified. So if they are certified, why should not we not be certified in what we are doing, as we are the professionals in the field? So what does it entail, the quality of methodology and process development? Well, we have a reference frame, that's the code of practice, of course. And the code of practice has a number of principles, and to these principles, as you know, there are a number of indicators, and some of them are specifically relevant to quality and process development. So I've listed here, or actually Kay Seneberg has made this presentation for me. He helped me very much in that. And so I listed those that are most relevant. So there are two principles that are listed here, and some indicators that are part of the principles of cost effectiveness, accuracy and reliability, coherence and comparability, and accessibility and clarity. In the paper, you get a lot of more details on what's behind these principles and how these are linked to quality and process development. So I now come to the general approach of Statistics Netherlands to certification and quality management. Now, we've seen that our quality management is anyway based on the Statistics Code of Practice. Now, in 2015, we had a peer review, and one of the recommendations was that we should go towards certification. It did not specify that it had to be ISO certification, actually. But that's the choice we made ourselves. There are other systems which you can use. And at the level of Statistics Netherlands, this is a program that runs until 2020. That is, there are several levels of certification. And last year, we succeeded in getting certified at the level of the unit for methods and process development. So we are not as far as Azerbaijan in getting certified, but we're trying to catch up. So what helps in this whole process is that as an institute, we don't have really major quality problems. When we have a quality problem, we are completely transparent about it towards our users. And so that helps, of course, when you start certification, that you have a good starting position. So now let's have a little bit more an internal look. So we are organized in a unit, organizational unit for project development and methodology, where we have different tasks. We do research in methodology. We also give consultancy in methodology, internal consultancy within our office. We have the same with process development. We participate in institutes' development projects from the side of methodology and process development. We also give courses, and we're now actually doing all these activities also more externally, more than we used to. Concerning quality, I mentioned already that we didn't have so many quality problems at institute level. It's the same for the unit of methods and process development. And we already have our internal quality management based on the Deming Circle of Plan, Do, Check, Act. And that helps when you want to implement certification. And I would also like to stress that quality is very much dependent on the culture of the institute, of the culture of the department. And so when we go towards certification, we would like to increase, in effect, trust. The certification procedure is much oriented towards documenting of processes, and also documenting the context in which you are working, the relationships, and the way you're in control about that. What is important is that you are very explicit about the objectives that you are pursuing, the targets, and that it's well communicated by the management, because there's, of course, people are not waiting for putting efforts into documentation methodologies, and so it helps if they really go for a certain target. And then the Deming Circle is very important, and the management level has an important role in playing that. And so they have to set these targets, communicate them, do something with reviews, and then have feedback loops. So I come now to the conclusions. What have we seen? That for methodology and process development, the quality management has become more important. It had to do with complexity. We already have a good frame of reference with the code of practice. The certification is something that is needed to internal users, to external users, to external stakeholders, and you have to increase the trust in your institute by doing that. And also, we've seen that it is quite feasible. I was actually quite surprised to learn that it's just 300 working hours that has been spent to get certified with this unit in 2017, 300 person hours. That is not really much, and that can only take place, can only happen if you have already in place good quality management. So it's only proving that you have good quality management rather than introducing good quality management. And so when you're first at the stage of having good quality management, then it's a relatively small step to certify what you've been doing. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much, Peter, for this very interesting presentation. So we are running a little bit out of time, so I would immediately invite our next speaker, so Delina Ibrahimat, who present a paper related to innovation and quality culture in INSTAT, And Delina is from the Institute of Statistics of Albania. So Delina, the floor is yours.
Yes. This one? No, it's not this. This? Delina.
Okay.
Okay, so good morning, everyone. As I was presented, I'm Delina Ibrahime, the Director General of the Institute of Statistics Albania. I'm here and I'm very glad to be here today. It's a very interesting conference. I have learned a lot, listened a lot about quality and different aspects of quality and different history of quality in different institutions. And today I'm going to present our history of quality, which is rather new, actually. So my presentation will be about the history, about the quality implementation strategy, about the TQM principles, and some conclusions and follow-up. The first day of this conference, actually, I attended a training which was presented by Statistics Slovakia, which had a very great presentation about how they are committed to quality and all the processes that they do in the quality. Actually, we are, and the whole presentation was about effectiveness and efficiency. During the last years, we have been working in effectiveness. And actually, before, the first attempt of our institute towards quality was in 2014, when we presented the first quality report of the census 2011. Then we started to introduce some quality reports for other activities, but quality was spread into the organization in a piecemeal rather than in a holistic approach. So in 2017, we developed a new strategy, and with four strategic objectives, where quality was directly linked to two of the objectives, and it was indirectly linked to all the objectives. We also, to make a good start, made the commitment to quality and put it in our website. Then, as I said, before 2017, quality was rather linked to products, and in our strategy, we wanted to spread it to products, processes, management, and communication. To help us with this, we also worked on a new law, which was approved in 2018. And in the new law, there's a separate article on quality, where all the principles of code of practice are included. So now, the quality in our institution is a guiding philosophy for the whole organization and not for the statistical production units. These were the first reactions to our strategy. So all our employees were very ready and they all wanted changes, but nobody wanted to change because it took effort for all the institution to document the processes and to go through all the changes quality. So the management reaction of this was to start to implement some change management processes. But I will not talk about this part during this presentation. So, with the change management processes, we tried to motivate our staff and to explain and to increase our internal communication in order to fulfill this this change, which was very much needed. So in terms of quality strategy, after having settled a strategy for the entire institution, we adopted an action plan. And the first step of the action plan was a strategy for the implementation of quality, which was focused on measuring, monitoring, and taking action on further steps. So we decided to adopt the TQM strategy with five basic principles. The first principle is good quality of statistical processes and products, then reduce the burden of respondents, the first two principles are mostly related to statistical production, products, and processes. Then we wanted satisfied users with official statistics, which had to do with more of communication. We tried to we wanted to improve effectiveness and statistical processes. So this was more of a managerial decision making based on all the other on the three other principles. And then we took we take actions with training and knowledge management. So to go in more details about the five basic principles for the good quality of statistical processes and products, we develop a formal quality and audit management system, which we started to implement inside the institution, but we want to spread it in the NSS. So the strategy, our strategy is to spread it in other official statistics producers, which with the basics of the European Statistics Code of Practice. So we settled GSBPM for monitoring and documenting statistical products. We introduced some procedures for internal statistical audit. And based on that, we have recommendations for quality improvements for our, all the statistical processes audited. Then we settled some quality reporting reporting standards. So our quality reports are based on SMIS, and we have structural metadata, which are published in our website. Then the second principle was to reduce the burden of responses. So in our, it is our one of our strategic objectives to increase the use of administrative data and to equally distribute the response burden. For all this, we have a stronger mandate with our new law, which gave us more power in terms of coordination of the statistical system and in terms of exchanging data with the principles of statistical confidentiality. Then we introduced a questionnaire on supply and demand of data for public institutions, so our knowledge on the availability of administrative data became bigger. And based on that, we have signed a number of memorandums of understanding with line ministries, public institutions, and universities in order to increase our partnerships and interconnections with these institutions. To equally distribute the response burden, we regularly monitor and publish the burden. We introduce some sample coordination techniques, and we are trying to do combined questionnaires. The third principle is about satisfied users with official statistics. So we tried to develop relationship with users. We identified five user groups, and we make meetings and experts roundtable for needs assessment, for new methodologies introductions, and for new surveys. And we also introduced a yearly workshop for users. We also monitor the user satisfaction surveys, satisfaction through the user satisfaction survey, and actually we have taken taken knowledge about it. Last year, our user satisfaction survey showed that our website was to improve, so the quality of our website, it was not accessible, so we changed our website, and this year's result resulted in more satisfied users with our accessibility and website. The fourth principle is about improving effectiveness of statistical processes. We have, for all the principles and for all the different steps, we have identified some KPIs which the management is following. We monitor the performance with some controlling instruments, and we try to take actions. We have these eight performance indicators, and throughout the year we have different meetings where we control the performance of these indicators. Based on all this assessment and the results of our monitoring processes, we take actions. So we have this, with the new law, we have the training mandate not only to train our staff, but also to train other institutions. And we have a training strategy. We make a training program which is based on the evaluation of quality controlling instrument, and it's based on the staff training needs through self-assessment and performance appraisal processes. We also have very much tried to develop new partnerships for training, and like the universities or other specialized institutions in different fields, and we also monitor staff satisfaction. So in our quality, new quality-oriented organization, with the quality as a whole, as a concept for the whole organization, we have improved the quality of the overall process of statistical production. We have improved the management decision-making with concrete indicators to follow up. We have increased our staff satisfaction. We have increased our user satisfaction and increased our effectiveness. And the overall is, the whole result is that the public trust on official statistics in our has increased. But we have started this new revolution of quality. But as one quote, which is not very famous, is that the revolution is like a cocktail. It just gets you organized for the next one. So all the information that we have received during these days gives us input for further steps. So we will move, we will continue our efforts on increasing quality and effectiveness of our products, because as you've seen, we only started in 2017. But we will also move towards efficiency. So we will try to implement, we will try to monitor our work and relate it to all the processes and try to be more efficient in our statistical production. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Delina, for your top management view on the quality system in your office. And I propose that now we move to the last speaker for this session. I have the pleasure to welcome Sylvain Zamit from the National Statistical Office of Malta. And Sylvain is going to talk today about integrating process documentation and quality management. Sylvain, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, good morning, everyone. So, my presentation, I would like to stress on the integration between quality management and how it interacts and can be integrated with process documentation, actually. So this is a snapshot of what I shall be covering in the next 15, hopefully less, minutes. Okay. So, as we have said even yesterday, data supply is no longer an issue nowadays. Okay, because as we speak, data is generated, okay, and in fact, over 90% of all data that is available nowadays has been generated in the past 2 years. An approximate 2.5 billion gigabytes a day, okay? So the issue is not whether data is there or not, because it is indeed there. The issue is how to make it available for statistical purposes, how to make it fit, and how to make it understandable by our own users and users out there. So just to give you an example of the Maltese, from the Maltese context, where basically we send over 105,000 questionnaires a year, covering 40 different surveys. We make use of more than 90 administrative data sources, more than one press release every working day, one publication every month, and more than 1,000 data transmissions a year. Yet, that is not enough. It is never enough, okay? But at the NSO, we reached a kind of saturation point where we realized that in order to expand further and to be more productive and more, I mean, relevant to the eyes of our users, the only option was to recruit more people. And it is quite a headache to find the right people in terms of quality and quantity nowadays. So we said that in order to be able to find something that suits our users, be it internal or external users, because very often we think about users, of external users only. But our very own users, they have to know how the wheel is running inside the organization. So we started from the very basic, the mission statement. And we said the mission statement focuses on quality and in order to make this available to our users for better decision making. So given that we realize that resources are what they are, so we said that, look, we have to think smarter, not work smarter, and not harder, okay? And the first thing that we had to do is to pause a bit, reflect, to understand better how we are doing things. Because in order to improve, you get to know yourself better first. And this involved the involvement of 22 different domain units, over 60 staff members, which may be small in number, but that constitutes to almost a quarter of the size of our organization, and almost 10,000 man hours. We shared several ideas which had one basic element in common, this being metadata, because metadata is the key to all data management issues, okay? It all started in 2012, okay? Because we started to make available reference metadata to our users. And we realized that there was, I mean, we had to do something to quench the thirst of our users, okay? We had to dig deeper in order for ourselves, first of all, to understand better the data that we are providing and we are producing, how we are using the data, how we are producing it, how we are analyzing it and storing it, okay? So basically, the GSBPM came to our rescue. Because in 2015, where we started to look seriously at implementing the GSBPM at our organization, we wanted a solid tool that has been already tried and tested to understand who does what, at which stage, and why, okay? As we have seen in various presentations, users, particularly internal users, they don't want documentation, okay? I have good friends of mine that hated me for months for putting forward the idea of introducing the GSBPM. And we focused on the GSBPM in its original form, with 8 processes and 44 sub-processes. But we didn't want to implement a fully-fledged GSBPM across the board. We tried to be as selective as possible. And out of 42 key domains, we identified 33 through an internal survey that was carried out among all internal units, we identified 33 domains that were in some way related to others, or were basically inputs to other domains, okay? So we focused on those. So following the identification of these domains, we invested heavily on training, even through the assistance, the kind assistance of UNSCE, who came over to our offices and delivered specific training on the use and of GSBPM and how to implement GSBPA in an effective way. We also developed a manual, an internal manual that served like a kind of SOP for our internal units so that they would know how to document in GSBPM, what level of detail was expected from them, and above all, where to include what, because the GSBPM is quite thematic. In certain specific processes. And obviously there was constant communication between the methodology and research unit, which was entrusted to coordinate and administer this survey, and all the domain units. In particular, for example, the methodology unit, they carried out 3 different vetting processes of each of these 33 different process documents. So our target was to start the, I wouldn't say revolution, but an evolution from this classical stovepipe approach to a more harmonized and re-engineered production method, where each of these sub-processes would be considered as a sort of service that could be plugged in different domains at different instances. So the thing was evaluate, possibly automate, improve, and repeat the process. Because that is why I call it an evolution, because it is an ongoing process which never stops. Throughout the documentation process, we got to know ourselves a little bit better. So we realized that some of the sub-processes identified in GSBPM were being taken for granted, literally, okay? So once we published the data, we didn't stop to reflect how to make it better next time, and we kept on doing the same thing for years. That is not good enough nowadays, because the way statistics evolved over time, it requires statistical offices to produce more with less resources available. So basically, we have to become more and more efficient as we speak. And we realized that there were a couple of black box systems in place, and then you tend to understand why certain users, particularly within the business and economic sectors, they were kind of reluctant to document certain processes because they inherited certain systems and they simply applied them without knowing very well what they are doing. Okay, so that required a huge investment in a number of areas and specialization, which required a number of segregation of tasks. For example, following this process, we channeled all data collection of this from the social domain under one roof. And we developed a data management unit, which now collects 97% of all social data collected by the office. The next step is to focus on business domains. So that shed some light on an urgent need for investment in IT, and now we are planning to have a solid IT architecture in place, information security, which is a key topical issue at the moment, and investment and reliance and exploitation of secondary data sources, administrative data sources, okay? And of course, there are implications, as we have already mentioned, to legal issues as well. And there is when the QMF, the quality management framework or function, kicks in, because it is the link between the GSBPM, which of course denotes the process documentation, and quality itself. I like to think about the QMF as the bridge that connects the two, okay? We all know the main uses of the QMF. It strengthens compliance with the code of practice. It gives you a set of SOPs. But in principle, what is in it for the main users, be it internal, external, experienced, intermediate, or not experienced? So hopefully next month we will publish our first quality management publication, which you will receive a copy at your respective statistical offices. And this documentation brings together a vast variety, a vast spectrum of quality-related issues, be it operational or technical, in order to serve as a technical handbook for all forms of users, to our very own users, so that they also understand how we do things, a kind of knowledge management tool, and external users so that they can appreciate more how the NSO is doing things, so that we do not become ourselves as a black box. So the quality management is quite vast. It spans from questionnaire design, statistical disclosure control, weighting of data, seasonal adjustment, okay, metadata, and calculation of salient indicators, like the Gini coefficient, for example, how to reduce the burden on our respondents and make better use of administrative data sources. There are plenty, okay? 23 topics in total. And it is meant to serve all users of statistical data, as I mentioned, including internal and external people. I like to think about the QMF as a Lego block. Okay, it comes in various forms, shapes, colors, but the dimensions are unique to each. So the QMF is an injection in between the subprocesses of the GSBPM, such that it connects between different subprocesses altogether. Okay, and the aim is to increase quality and efficiency and integrate the different building blocks so that these can be reused and shared within the organization. So just to conclude, this is where the QMF fits. So it is an overarching principle similar to the GSBPM to our business process model architecture, okay, where we have the GSBPM and the quality management on top of all processes. Thanks for listening.
Thank you very much, Sylvain, for your presentation. Now it's question time, so I will open the floor for questions. So I would like to ask you to briefly introduce yourself, and if your question is directed to one particular speaker, then please mention it. And let's try to have question to the whole panel. So who would like to start? Yes, gentleman there.
Yes, hello everybody. My name is Markus Baumann from the Swiss Federal Statistical Office. I have a question to Yusuf Yusifov and Peter Struis. I didn't quite understand, how do you communicate in a simple way that you've got now the ISO certification to the users? How do you communicate it to the broad public?
Thank you for your question. But I don't know if it's a simple way or very difficult to certificate process, because it's very difficult. If you want to get certificate more fast, you have to able more skills staffs, for example. For example, in our country, in our case, we have 8 person in our administration which carried out, but not only preparation of certification, also they are doing on classification, quality, other issues, audits, and etc. It is very difficult ways, but communicated this process, I think that training issues for easy get to certification and understanding. Because when I was, for example, head of Department of Quality Management, after a year I understood that what is the quality management after a year. It is very difficult. But communicated, it is, for my opinion, it is ISO standard is for documentation of the processes. We have to think about it. And JSPPM for standardization of statistical processes. Also ISO, but not only for statistical processes. Also, as you know, that we have other departments, for example, financial department, staff, and other departments. ISO also included all them.
Yes, in the Netherlands, we do not communicate very much about ISO. At least we did not so far, because the institute as a whole will be certified in 2020, according to plan. And we are not going to communicate the certification of each single unit. But we do have a lot of communication about quality of statistics, quality of how we deal, communication on how we deal with quality. So we have a whole set of statistical methods, which is publicized. We have a methodological explanation to all statistics, to each single statistics that we publish. We have a quality declaration. I think once the ISO certification is there, we will certainly have a press release about that. We also have different types of communication. So, of course, we have the website, the specific publications. We have we use Twitter and Facebook and so on, so to get into contact with different users. We have all kinds of magazines. We have a corporate news app. And we make use of all these channels to get across the idea that quality is a core professional aspect of making statistics.
Thank you very much for those responses. Next question, Maria, please.
Thank you very much. My name is Maria Dologova, Slovakia. Thank you very much for excellent presentations to all of you. And my question is to Delina. So really, thank you very much for a really quality management system presentation. Thank you very much. It is about, should it be. And there was a very interesting mention, and I think it was almost on the last slide, managing knowledge or knowledge management. I think this is a really, if I should add to what we had on the training on the first day, is a very, very important approach. It is managing knowledge, especially for statistical organizations. And you linked this managing knowledge to training, which is fine. And my question is actually, because in training maybe there is a more focus on explicit or codified knowledge, and maybe if you could explain whether you have also integrated or are about to think to integrate sharing of tacit knowledge. It means implicit knowledge, because our experts very often have a lot of knowledge in their heads, and they are even not able to put it down, to write it. And if they leave, Sorry to say, the tacit knowledge works from the office with our super experts. So, and really a very challenging role in statistical offices is not only sharing explicit knowledge, this is also manageable, but especially to pay a great attention to sharing, especially this tacit or implicit knowledge. So this is my question. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your question. The sharing of the basic knowledge was one of the problems at the heart of the institution. And the whole quality management process is about documenting and about reporting. So more than with the trainings, we think that we have managed to manage the basic knowledge and the sharing of basic knowledge through the documentations processes. It is a process, the documentation process, the whole quality management is a process. It's changing all the time. And we can refer to the principles that just changed because of the code of practice change. So we will be improving and we'll be trying to do our best. But the basic is documentation. The trainings of the basic knowledge are more related to the new staff, are more related to another portion of quality, another aspect of quality, which is very important, is the sharing of the basic knowledge within the institution. So other subject matter, different subject matters should know what others are doing and how they are doing it in order to improve themselves. So in our training strategy, this is also included. So the knowledge management is inside, but it's also outside the institution, because we need to have good administrative data in order to produce quality statistics. So we have to share our knowledge with others as well. So it's a complicated process.
Thank you very much. Next intervention.
Good morning. My name is Kostas Diamantidis from the Statistical Service of Cyprus. Congratulations to all for the excellent presentations. I have a question for everybody regarding the amount of resources that your institute has allocated either to obtain the ISO certification or the quality management in general. And the background of the sources that have been used in these actions. And one question for Sylvain. What are the plans? First of all, congratulations for the QMF. It's really very interesting. And I would like to ask you, what are the plans for promoting the QMF mainly externally for the users? And whether you have plans to target specific group of users that are mostly interested for this kind of work, and what impact do you expect to have internally and externally on the NSI, the development of this framework?
Thank you very much. So I propose that we address first the question to Sylvain, and then panel members can, of course, react on the resources, although we have already heard a little bit about that, but maybe to elaborate.
Thank you, Kostas. So as far as the NSO is concerned, we are planning to go for the ISO 27000 on information security by end 2019, and then we will think, probably we'll go for 9K as well. Because, I mean, there's a very small jump in inverted commas between 27 and 9,000. As far as the QMF is concerned, we will hold a press event in 2 months' time in order to present it to our users, because it would be a pity if the QMF is only used internally. So we want to promote it heavily so that our users understand better how we do things internally, especially the media. Because we notice that there is kind of a lack of technical knowledge, even basic statistical knowledge, among the media in Malta. And it happens, unfortunately, quite frequently that they misquote certain information. And in the past, we have already held a number of events dedicated to the media so that we address very basic stuff, for example, how to compare or not to compare between HICP and RPI, for example, the supply and demand side and of tourism and things like that. Basic things that would simplify their lives and even ours at the end of the day. So, but even internally, we are planning to hold a number of thematic issues internally, thematic workshops, sorry, internally, to target each and every 22 different sections in the QMF, so that we explain these in a little bit of detail to our staff, because our staff are very much interested, even the less technical staff, to understand certain things, like, for example, statistical disclosure control. Okay, in our office, and statistical disclosure control is done entirely by the methodology unit, but still, it would be a pity if the domain units, they do not truly understand what is being done with the data. And I truly believe in this kind of knowledge management cycle, that you keep people informed and engaged so that they can understand better how the office is moving forward. Thank you.
Who would like to intervene on the resource aspect? Peter or Yusuf?
The question was about resources. And so I think there's actually a classification problem here. What do you count and what not? If you look at what we're doing with certification, then we have prioritized certain units that were more or less ready, that were already well organized. And so the example I gave was an example of a very low burden to implement ISO. So other units may still have to make quite an effort to get, for instance, their documentation right. And then the question is, do you count that as resources spent on certification or not? And actually, we have, as a kind of culture, we think quality is part of your main job. It's not something that you have to do to comply with some bureaucratic requirements. It's part of your main job. And so it would be a little bit funny to separate it in time management. So that's why it's a hard question to really answer.
Also, I would like to divide the two parts of the resources, staff and financial resources. Staff is clear, but learning of experience, methodological, it is free and needs some. But of course, the main part of the is creation of IT support, methodological support, organization support, etc. In our case, in 2012, when we prepared state program on official statistics for next 5 years, we included main issues even to state program which approved by the president of the country. After that, we established in our committee, department, division, and etc. Financial resource, it was not problem because after the including the events to state program, we prepared action plan for all each events, financial resources allocated and from the Minister of Finance and etc.
Thank you very much. Any other question? And potentially for Milos? Yes, sure.
I also wanted to add something about the resources. As I said, in Switzerland, our unit is pretty small, 2 people. So what happens is that it takes more time to make things, or we make, for instance, less quality reviews or process documentation. But I think the example of Albania was very interesting because I think if you have a unit of 20 quality managers with no support from the top management, you can have as many people as you want, there won't be much happening. And here, a top manager has the full commitment under this quality system, and in 3 or 4 years, they've done more than I did in maybe 6 years or 7 years. So it really shows that maybe resources is definitely important, for sure. You have to have a quality management unit. You have to have a certain structure. But I think for me, the key factor of success is really the commitment. And you can tell that when you have a DG behind it, or at least someone strategically high position, the works will go a lot faster. So maybe sometimes the resources we invest, maybe we should invest them more into selling quality management to top managers, and maybe less developments, instead of making a lot of tools and initiative, but they have maybe no support or just partial support from top managers. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Milos, for this intervention. Any other questions or remark from the attendance? Doesn't seem to be the case, so I think we are now at the end of our sessions, and I would like to briefly conclude. And I would believe that what Milos has just said is already opening a nice conclusion. It's true that management of quality is first and foremost, I would say, quality of management. And this the importance of top management commitment, support, and leadership is critical. And actually, this is what we are trying to do also at European level, to show the direction. Not only, as we have discussed several times during this conference, not only for the NSIs themselves, but for the national statistical systems and what we call in our European jargon, the other national authorities. And this is something which is very much important. What Sylvain drew attention to the fact that it's very important also to get on board and to have a look to all stakeholders, external stakeholders, internal stakeholders. So internal stakeholders, because we have processes which are, of course, directing to producing data for the publication on our website, but also for internal consumptions. If you would remember the pyramid which we have in the previous statistics, or the still current 5 years program, at European level, you have this pyramid of information with primary statistics, accounts, and indicators. And we have a clear also internal consumptions, and all stakeholders must be on board. Of course, as we learned today, there is also the importance of having a quality management framework, which is agreed and used. I remember in the discussion when I was still in the quality management unit of Eurostat, that we had some discussion about what kind of quality framework should we use. I would say it doesn't really matter. We have to decide that we use a quality framework, not to take 5 years to decide which one, but to select one and to do it, and to put it at work. So also, whatever we do, because we know that we are in, we have limited resources, we always need to be able to explain why we are doing certain things. And this is also linked to the sustainability of what we put in place. And we have to make sure that via good communication, internal communication, we have this connection between quality managers and production people. And I would say, I would not even like to have this dichotomy of between quality managers and production people or production staff. We are all managing quality, and everybody should work together. And whatever we are doing should be for the benefit of ultimately our users, and to serve them in the best way possible. And this overall, and I believe this is, there were a few questions regarding communication of our quality work, and I would believe that this is also something which we try to do at European level with this quality declaration. I don't know if it works or not, but at least to try to communicate in simple language to our users why they should simply go to our website when they want trusted data and not to other kind of source of information. So this communication to reinforce the trust of users in our statistics is also important. It was also highlighted during this session. So I would only like to thank you all for being today and this morning with us. And I think also I would like that we all congratulate those speakers for their very good and very enlightening presentation. So thank you.